Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. I come from money.
I come from class. These ladies love me. This is...
It was different.
What, Ted DiBiase Jr.?
Yes, this is the kid. Oof, this is brutal.
This is definitely like a modern spin, like trying to do like a remix of the old Ted DiBiase theme.
I think this just proves, if nothing else did already, that the Attitude Era was much better than what they came with afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. I was only a wrestling fan for like a year or two, but that was that wrestling
era.
It was not Attitude Era. It was that one.
Yeah.
With the remixes and stuff. All right. Well, that's fine.
We've had some WWE talk.
Definitely Ted DiBiase Jr. and I'm Ted DiBiase. I want the good theme song for sure.
So I have to be Randy Orton's sidekick?
Sure. Oh, right. That was a thing. I don't remember anything about my days of watching the WWE. 803-0550 is the phone number. We got about an hour left here. It's Thursday Night Football tonight. Giants and Patriots.
I knew we had to come down at some point with these great Thursday night games. You had Rams, Seahawks last week, Eagles, Packers. Like, we were bound for a letdown, and
but
here it is.
You at least get New England, I guess.
What were you thinking when you scheduled the Giants? Like, they weren't supposed to be good this year.
Well,
I mean, at least Daniel Jones makes it more.
I don't think Thursday night football gets the prime matchup, so.
Yeah.
What else would you pick this week? I mean, there's some good games this week, I guess.
It's probably the last one on the list I would have chose, but.
I'm interested in Daniel Jones. I'm interested to see. I want to see New England play a good team. It's not the Bills.
I think it'd been more fun to see if Eli could beat the Patriots again.
They're not the team you can make this point for, but who have they beaten? Like, again, I'm not going to use that to say that they're not the Patriots anymore, but they haven't beaten anybody except for the Bills. They've beaten, and they didn't even have to play the Jets with Darnold. The Bills beat the Jets with Darnold, at least. They beat, the Steelers, I guess, was impressive. Roethlisberger, but who knows what his elbow was at that point. They beat Miami. Who we all know what that is. They beat Luke Falk, starting for the Jets. They beat the Bills. It was close. They won because of a block punt. Then they beat Washington with Colt McCoy. Now they get the Giants. And here come the Jets next week again. And
Monday
the Browns.
Night Football.
Like, when do they play? they play the Chiefs later in the year.
They play the Chiefs. They play the Eagles.
They have a tough second half. I'm looking at it right now. They go Browns.
Oh, this is a really tough six-game stretch.
Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs.
Chiefs, yeah.
That is tough.
Okay. And then you get the Bengals, Bills, and Dolphins to round it out. But yeah, so it gets tougher for the Patriots, where it's like there's not a stretch like that for the Bills.
I mentioned a stat earlier. The Bills have the easiest schedule remaining in the league, which was like 34%, I think, if I remember, the winning percentage of the Bills' opponents. New England was not on that list. I think it only went top five, but they weren't one of the five easiest. They've had the easiest so far, but
makes sense when you get to play five teams that have yet to get a win.
Right. We're kind of talking about trades right now. Stephon Diggs, AJ Green, Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey's name's been mentioned. There are a lot of star players that could be available right now. The Bills are good, but are they in a position to be aggressive like that? Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the phone number, or if you want to mention anyone specific of those names that I just mentioned. Let's go to Mike in Rochester. Mike, you are on WGR. What's up?
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I think you're all over it that the biggest need the Bills have is the number one wide receiver. I get the Von Miller thing, but our defense is really good. And if you're going to be able to spend it once or be aggressive, it's got to be on a number one wideout. Now you get two choices. You can wait for the draft and spend a number one on somebody, and you don't know who's going to be available. And the better the Bills get, the worse that draft position gets anyway. Or you can go out and get somebody, and I like Diggs a lot, but I think Green is available probably a lot sooner. And all you need is about a 3 or 4 year production out of the guy, because these windows where you get this strong defense, they go away. People leave, people get free agent signings, all this stuff. We have a window right now where we could win a Super Bowl, and I think the Bills could be good enough soon. I don't think Josh is quite ready, but A.J. Green makes all those other guys better. He makes John Brown better. Mm-hmm. He makes Cole Beasley better. The running game goes better because you can't stop that guy. He's incredible. And I think that's who they should go after and really go after him now. And I say that because I hear you guys saying, well, New England's not dead yet. We were the better team when we played New England. We are there. We are ready to beat them. and A.J. Green would be the one thing that would put us ahead of them. And if Josh could be a little more composed the next time he plays them, and he will be, I think the Bills can win the division and get some home field playoff games. I think winning one wild card game is good enough. I don't think we should be shooting for that, and I guarantee you those players aren't shooting for that. So I think this is the time, and I think you go out and get A.J., you spend that number one now, because that number one next year, we don't even know who's going to be available and how long is it going to take that rookie really become a number one, and what if say Jones again?
That's the point, is at wide receiver. You never know. Sure, there is that 2014 class was historic, and it was from the jump. And you're seeing, you know, Hollywood Brown this year contribute. Terry McLaurin's been great. DK Metcalf has made plays down the field. But it's a good point. You don't know. You could draft – the Bills could draft a wide receiver in the first round next year, and it could take a couple years.
Or he could be amazing.
Take long. Sure, but, again, I like where he's at with – and, again, I wouldn't give up a one for A.J. Green. I would give up a two. And with the Patriots, you're not always going to keep Tom Brady to 16 points. You're going to need that kind of player sometimes to beat him.
Hey, man, I don't know. They have done that against Brady three times in a row now.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
but
at some point – maybe they have figured him out.
I just don't think you can always bank on that.
You can't bank on
that. Especially like in the playoffs. I mean, you want to have multiple ways to win a football game. And right now,
they've
kind of been winning the games the same way.
I hope they're good enough at some point. When I hear home playoff game, my inclination isn't just to snicker. Because it is. I'm sorry.
Which was instantly your reaction.
I could not laugh. Like,
you've never lived
in an existence where that's even not funny. Yeah. But maybe it's not funny anymore. No, they need to beat New England before I not laugh at that.
That's the thing. Maybe people are kind of scared of that. They're just so used to this.
I will say this. If you want to beat New England right now, this year, then I think you're talking Super Bowl. That's what New England is. That's what that bar is. So unless I think I'm doing that, I don't want A.J. Green. And I don't think, all due respect to how good the Bills have looked and how much we've talked about the playoffs today and how much respect I think they deserve right now, I'm not even thinking at all about the Super Bowl. And to me,
is that really
you
just
beat
because
New
of
England,
Josh Allen?
That's where your expectation now lies.
And is it just because of Allen?
It's Allen. The offense as a whole. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl. I don't think you can win multiple playoff games with their offense looking like it is. It's looked better. It's looked competent. It's looked, to me, slightly above average. But it has not looked good enough to where I think you are beating Kansas City. I don't think you're beating New England in January.
But that's not also not a rental. There. I mean, I get that from a rental perspective. But
that's what that
all
is.
All these players aren't rental players. I mean, if you
Green
trade for
is.
A Von Miller.
Green is a rental player.
Yeah.
That is this season. I mean, you could sign him if you want. But do I really want to go pay a big contract to a 33-year-old wide receiver now? Demaryius Thomas, I think about him. He was a great wide receiver. He hit a wall, man. He hit a wall.
He did.
And he's still in his early 30s. Is he 33, 34? He's around the same age.
He's around the same age as Green.
So I'd just be afraid that you're going to pay a big asset for him. And yeah, maybe he comes in and he's amazing. But maybe it only lasts for the rest of the season. And then I just lose him for a compensation pick, the compensatory pick.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, you might get back the pick that you gave up for him. So that's why I'm a little bit more into it now.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. Okay. So it depends on how much money they get. And it also depends on who you sign. So the comp pick formula is pretty in-depth. But yeah.
Let's go to Mike in Amherst. Mike, you're on with Joe and Lou here. What's up?
Hey, guys. Joe, I don't know if you remember. I called you like right before the season started to ask you what your thoughts were on Brown and Beasley, basically who you thought might have a good season.
Okay.
It turns out both of them are playing pretty well.
Yep.
I'm actually really impressed with the wide receiver play this year, and I'm one that does not want to get an A.J. Green or a Diggs. I did a week ago, but now I don't see the reason for it.
What changed?
Well, I you know, guys like Duke Williams step in, and Roberts, you know, not that they're making huge plays, but they're subsistence level. Can Josh Allen, I mean, you know, he'll look better with A.J. Green. I just think that these guys that are stepping in are just going to give us more of a boost than some, you know, A.J. Green just coming in and, you know, being a top guy.
I see what you mean, though, because Brown and Beasley, even though in an ideal world, I again will say I don't think they're on a perfect offense, your number one wide receiver. Brown right now is playing like a number one wide receiver. Like, he is the guy where it's man-to-man coverage. He's beating the corner, like maybe 8 times out of 10. So I do kind of get where you're coming from, Mike.
Right. I just think we're riding with, we're living and dying basically on Allen's development. And for me, he's not far off where he needs to make slight adjustments. One play, if I can, real quick. We drew someone off sides in the Bengals game, and like Allen saw this, he hiked the ball, and he made a smart play. What he did, though, was not just chuck the ball up, and we end up holding on that play for offsetting penalties. We just got to cut out that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man.
I don't think you should ever get too comfortable. You should never be okay with the weapons you have. To me, you should always be trying to continue to build around your quarterback to the point where you have, I mean, the Chiefs have how many weapons? They're not just saying, oh, we have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, so we're good. No, they signed Sammy Watkins, and while they paid him $16 million a year, nonetheless, they paid him $16 million a year. They brought in Mecole Hardman in the second round. They brought in LeSean McCoy. I mean, to me, just because John Brown has been great, and he really has. He has been awesome. He's looked like he did last year in Baltimore, that really fast start.
Before they stopped throwing the football.
But to me, that's not enough. And when you're talking about Allen, he's almost there. To get him there, like adding these weapons is going to help him. It's not going to hurt him. To me, it's going to propel that development. So for Green, it's a more of a rental, like a win now kind of move. But if we're talking about like a Stephon Diggs, that is a short-term thing, but that's also giving Allen a reliable target for years to come. He's what? What'd you say, 25 years old?
25.
And
he's under contract.
So
$11 million cap hit, which
to me,
it's a lot.
That trigger.
But Watkins gets paid $16
really,
million.
I was going to say, if you look at receivers now, $11 million is not that much. You have like Nelson Aguilar and Marquise Lee are making $8, $9 million.
To me, I wonder what you think of this. Like, to me, Diggs is not an elite number one wide receiver. He's not AJ Green in that light. But I think he's a solid number one.
I was gonna say
he's on number one.
He's in the tier of, you know, he's that tier below,
Adam Thielen.
Right? Adam Thielen,
his teammate. Kenny Galladay, like
Alshon Jeffrey,
sure, like
Tyler Lockett. Those
number
kind of
one wide receivers that like aren't the best, but they're definitely deserve
Amari Cooper,
to be number ones.
Those kind of players, yeah.
Amari Cooper might be.
Is he ahead? I don't think so. I think he's still
right
with
now.
Diggs.
Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs. I think I'd rather have Amari Cooper.
The drops, man, just continue to happen with
he's
him.
So
I don't know.
Athletic, though.
Yeah, like, I know. Right, but I don't think he's so much higher than Diggs that he's in the next tier above.
803-0550 is the phone number. Paul in Rochester, you're next up. What's up?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Gotcha.
Yeah, I think you have to go for Diggs unless you have a doctor that clears Green from a bad foot, because those foot injuries are a pup to get over.
Yep.
And the reason why Green... Diggs is so would be so good because, like you stated, he's young. He can grow with Allen. And another question is, if doing a trade for getting the Diggs, can you also go into your practice team, like the trade Christian Wade, with all the hype that...
I mean, I actually have no idea if they could do that. I don't think he would provide much value, though.
I think Dalvin Cook's doing just fine in Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't think that's...
All the hype, you know, all the hype that surround him. Maybe you can maybe get something done with that.
I think that was fan-manufactured hype, and that's it.
Whoa. What do you mean? What do you mean? For Christian Wade?
I don't think other teams are seeing Christian Wade as an asset they want to trade for.
No. Oh, okay, I agree with that, but...
And I don't think the hype, I think it was more so...
It wasn't fan-manufactured. He had like 1,000 yards and three touches.
I should say, I think the excitement came more so from the fans than like NFL circles.
Well, I think people were impressed with his speed.
I think they were impressed from what he was to what he was showing.
This is a topic for another conversation. Paul, thanks for the call.
I was going to say, I don't want to talk about Christian Wade for another 20 minutes.
Yeah, but we'll see if he makes the team next year. Let's go to Jonathan and Alden. Jonathan, you are on WGR. How's it going?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Lou. I want to say Bill Barwell suggested going after T.J. Yeldon. He suggested trading Melvin. He suggested getting Melvin Gordon. He suggested trading T.J. Yeldon at 223rd round pick. But John, when I called in, John said that he doesn't think that third round pick in Yeldon would be good enough for Gordon. Also, I'm a little hesitant of AJ Green because of his foot injury, but I do agree. I think the time is now for the Bills to go all in. Maybe not a Super Bowl, but it's time for the Bills to go all in. I think they're very, very close to competing with Kansas City and New England.
Yeah, Jonathan, thanks for the call. I just the Melvin Gordon idea is just to me the worst idea.
Do people not believe in Devin Singletary, or what's this infatuation with Melvin Gordon?
I think just it would be exciting. He's a star player. He's
available. I don't think he's a star player, and I don't think he's exciting.
No, I don't think he's a star player either, but he's a big name. That's why he'd be excited.
He's a name. In fantasy football, he's a name.
I want no part of it. I think I agree with Jonathan. John Murphy. I don't think Yeldon and a third-round pick gets it done. I'm glad a third-round pick and Yeldon doesn't get it done. I would not take Melvin Gordon for free.
Right,
I would not.
Do you want to pay him $10 million plus?
Yes. I don't want to do that. He's already one of, I think he's still top five in the league in running backs paid.
Well, I'd imagine he was a high first-round pick, so...
4 yards per carry for his career.
Look,
right down the middle average.
I'm all for running backs trying to get more money. I think it's really tough for those guys, considering, especially first-round picks, there's fifth-year options and there's tags, and by the time you're up for a new deal, you have tread on the tires and you don't get the money. Look at Le'Veon Bell. So I'm all for like guys like Saquon Barkley holding out or an Ezekiel Elliott, but Melvin Gordon is not in that category. He's not someone that should warrant I wouldn't pay him $10 million.
No, I'm fine with Singletary, Gore, and Yeldon. I think they're doing great
right
now with that as their
core.
Yeah, I think
they're fine at running back. I don't think they need to do anything at running back.
It was part of the reason I wanted them to get rid of LeSean McCoy. I thought that he was going to demand carries in a running back group that has three other productive guys.
He hasn't done that in Kansas City, though. I think you were too hard on him.
He hasn't what?
He hasn't done that in Kansas City. He has been the rotational. I mean, even when Damian Williams was out, he wasn't the workhorse.
I think here, though, it would have been different. I think here he would have had a pedigree that he doesn't have in Kansas City.
Yeah. With Andy Reid, that's different. It's definitely a dynamic that's definitely different.
I just didn't see a role for him. I like the running back group. I wouldn't touch it.
Here's my thing, too. Jonathan brought up an interesting point about just like going for it now, which is what I've been saying throughout the show. If you think Allen will be that guy, like I get it if you don't think Allen will ever be able to win you a Super Bowl, but if that's the case, then what are you doing at this point anyway?
Well, of course, that's the end result, or the end goal.
But when do you think that happens?
Not now. Soon, maybe. To me,
it's got to happen in year two or three. That leap happens. When was the last time a quarterback took 4 or 5 years to develop?
I see what you mean. Okay.
Like, when was the last time that happened? Marcus Mariota, you're not seeing it. Jameis Winston, you're not seeing it.
Sure.
To me, after year two or three at this point, I don't know. There's not a lot of teams that are waiting. I mean, the Cardinals didn't even wait half a year. They drafted Kyler Murray.
I don't want to disagree with you, but I also don't want to.
I mean, sure, if you're seeing
that the end of this season, this is it.
No, I know. And if you're seeing the positive progressions, if you're seeing the development, that you stick with it. And you haven't seen that with Josh Allen. But, like, if I'm Chicago, you brought up earlier with Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, for me, that guy's never winning you a Super Bowl.
No.
Like, I'm not building around him now. I'm not souping up that team. I mean, they should have last year. I think they were right to do it last year. Now, I'm not.
I do think Allen's better than Trubisky, though.
I agree.
I think he's more capable. I think Allen is a guy you can drop back and have them throw the ball 35, 40 times.
Trubisky
is going to make some dumb throws?
That, yeah.
Yes. Trubisky, he is a game manager. You cannot have Mitch Trubisky throwing the ball 40 times a game and ever think you're going to win. Allen, that's not the recipe. I'm sure. If I fast forward 5 years down the line, you look at Allen's record throwing the ball 40 times a game. Every quarterback in the league other than Tom Brady has a losing record with that. So they're not going to win more games than they lose, but they'll be capable.
Yeah.
He'll be capable of doing that. And that's why he's already met a certain baseline that to me is better than some of those guys we just mentioned. Like better than Mariota, better than Trubisky, better than Winston. He's already, to me, even if it's only minuscule, it's higher than that. It looks better than that to me. So,
can you win a Super Bowl with this version of Josh Allen? If he never gets better,
this version, your defense would have to be historically good. Historically good. And similar to Denver when Peyton Manning had 9 touchdowns and 18 interceptions. Similar to do I have to go way
Seattle's
back when to Dilfer
or Seattle's 2013 defense that destroyed
like your
them.
Defense would have to be historically good, I think, with this version. But I'm not ready to just chalk it up and say this is the final result, the end result. Mm. If he gets rid of those bad turnovers, like, and he gets the things he's missing right now, or the things he should be that seem to be correctable. You know what I mean? Like with Winston and with Mariota, like those guys have issues that I just don't think.
Well, and you would also
fix.
Rather have the guy with the ability, like
Mariota's not even willing to throw down
the
field.
With like guys like Jared Goff and Josh Rosen, while sure they're a more finished product coming out, or even a Baker Mayfield. But there's a cap, there's a ceiling where you would rather, and I get the coaches, that's why I don't like when people are just saying Josh Allen is what he is at Wyoming, Daniel Jones is what he is at Duke. You cannot like those prospects, but to think they're a finished product coming out, I get why coaches say, I want to take that 6'6 guy that's 230 pounds that can run a 4'4 or 4'5 and outrun players that has a cannon for an arm, and I'll try to work out the kinks from there. Sure. I like that mentality way more than going for a guy that has a ceiling that will be
capped. Yeah. Let's go to Eric in New Mexico. Eric, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
And Joe, I really love your content. You're an expert. I trust your fantasy opinion almost more than anybody else.
Thank you. I wish I...
He's 2-3 right now, though, so you might have to proceed with caution.
I hope you're doing better with my fantasy advice than I am this season, but thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it.
It might be your fantasy advice, but also I've got... luckily, I ended up with a pretty stacked roster.
There you go.
Okay.
Also a plus.
Lou would even admit, he mentions I'm 2-3 in this one league. My roster is stacked. I have Saquon Barkley, Elvin Kamara, and Melvin Gordon.
Very complacent at wide receiver.
Yeah. Anyways, go ahead, Eric.
So I'll give you my skill positions real quick before I make my point. I've got Kerryon Johnson, James Conner, Deshaun Watson, Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Travis Kelce.
It's a nice squad.
Loaded.
Yeah. Anyway, my point is I have a trade idea for the Bills, and I've been pushing it. I've called One Bills Live. I've called the afternoon show, morning show. My idea is Mike Evans for a first rounder next year and a second rounder the following.
I didn't think of Mike Evans. I was going to ask you if we're missing any key players. He hasn't been as Chris Godwin's been better.
Why are they trading him?
Why are the Vikings trading Stephon Diggs?
Because he wants out.
What if Mike Evans wants out? I would want.
There's nothing though that makes you think he might. That's the thing.
Currently,
if you showed me a report that says Mike Evans might want out of Tampa Bay, I'll entertain this. I like the idea, Eric, in terms of like you're trying to find a number one wide receiver, but Evans doesn't fit for me because I have there's no reason to believe that they would trade him. There's no reason to believe at this point that he would want out.
We need him to pull a George Costanza and get out of there.
His numbers are unbelievable. He's been in the league. This is his sixth season.
He's in Tampa.
Five straight 1,000-yard seasons.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Why would Tampa let that go? 26 years old, they just signed him to a contract
extension. I think
he's
the new A.J. Green that is just this dominant player that's in a tough market, and you just don't really notice a lot of the time.
Here's the thing. I think with a guy like Evans, now we're trying too hard. Now we want a number one wide receiver so bad that we're just picking off guys in other teams, and we're trying to make them fit. We're trying to take a square peg and fit into a round hole. And there are certain players that you're just not going to get. Julio Jones, this is not going to happen. T.Y. Hilton, not happening. Mike Evans, not happening. There has to be a reason to believe that these guys are gettable first. That's why A.J. Green and Stephon Diggs are the conversation. And to me, they're the only receivers in the league that I would consider. Emmanuel Sanders might be available. He's not a number one. He's not an upgrade from what I have right now. So why am I doing that?
You're not.
These two guys, in Diggs and Green, are players at a position where the Bills don't have a franchise player, and there's reason to believe they're available. Stephon Diggs reportedly wants out. He's winking at reporters when they ask him about staying in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's right.
And A.J. Green is making comments like, I'm ready for it. Whatever happens, happens.
Not to mention they're
and
terrible.
He's got an expiring contract. Yeah.
I also, just for A.J. Green's sake, want to see him get out of Cincinnati. I mean, the dude has had to play with Andy Dalton they were drafted together in 2011. So 8 years of your career you spent playing in Cincinnati with Andy Dalton. Poor guy. I want to see, even if it's not with the Bills, I want to see that guy go play for another team.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. Thanks for the call, man. And if you're hanging on hold, we'll get to you right after the break. We'll continue talking about some trade ideas for the Bills. I do want to, we haven't really mentioned Thursday, we teased that we were going to talk about Thursday football. There's really nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like we talked about Daniel Jones a little bit. Would it have been more interesting if Eli Manning was starting and if he took down the Patriots?
No, not at all.
Yeah, you're not the biggest Eli guy.
No, far from it. It is Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase. We're kind of calling it Two Bills Live here. We'll be back right after this on WGR.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Right. they're off to an outstanding start. See what they've done under, you know, Ralph Kruger as a new coach. They're playing a more tense style, a more up-tempo. They look like they're having fun out there. And that's really what it is. There's been a real, I don't know if lack of fun is the right word, but when you're losing, it's tough to enjoy the game. Now these guys, for whatever reason, whatever system and style Ralph Kruger wants them to play, they look like they're having fun. Jack Eichel is happy. Rasmus Dahlin looks happy. You know, everybody there looks happy. And if they can keep this up, look, there's no doubt the talent is there in place to push for a wild card.
I like the sound of that. Adam Kimmelman, NHL.com, on with the morning show today. The Sabres are second place in the NHL. It's four games, but 7 points in four games. Carolina's undefeated. They're 4-0. The Sabres are second place. Alone in second place in the NHL. Here's Edmonton, hot on the trail. The game in hand. Oh, look at me talking about game in hands with four games in. It's going well. It's going really well. They have the most goals in the NHL. They scored the most. They're averaging over 4 goals a game. 18 goals in 4 games. It's fun. It's exciting. They look fast. They're not perfect. I thought at times yesterday Montreal was all over them.
I talked about it in transition. Yeah. Montreal took advantage of that.
Columbus, I didn't think they particularly played well, although I thought they played better than a lot of other people thought. Like, their possession numbers were still okay. Their expected goals for was okay.
They played some talented teams, too. I mean,
they ran over New Jersey and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, those are two teams with a lot of talent, especially firepower. I mean, Pittsburgh now is being dismantled by injuries, right? Mm-hmm. So, but at the time, they were very healthy. Let me ask you this. It was part of the late-night discussion yesterday on WGR. Does the collapse from last year's 10-game win streak, I know it's very early in the season, we're only 4 games in, but does that hold back your excitement at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's in the back of my head for sure. They went on a 10-game win streak and missed the playoffs by like 20
points. People were talking about it as a shoe-in that they were in.
Their percentage was like over 90% like to make the playoffs. It's at one point. So, yeah, it's in the back of my head. It's got to be a full-season effort. It's almost like I'm in a position of I'll believe it when I see it. Kind of like what I used to be with the Bills. I guess I'm still kind of there with the Bills, but at one point, it's just you never see them make the playoffs. They have so many hot starts and always miss that at some point it's like, you know what? I'm just not going to get excited about it anymore. And I am excited about the Sabres start, but I'm taking it all with a grain of salt because, yes, they were first place in the NHL, like, at Christmas last year, maybe, like with December.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't the first week of the season. They were in first place a couple months in, and they missed, by a lot. Like, it wasn't even close. They had 75 points,
they
five,
were not
fifth from
in
the
it.
Bottom.
They were, it was, there was still a lot of season left, and they were already out of it,
so
which is brutal.
I want to see more of it.
The good thing
I
is
want
it's, a,
to see,
it's a different team. I mean, different defensemen. Now they're moving the puck way better. I still think on 5-on-5. Like,
that's my favorite part
the
about the start.
Phil Housley is gone.
But it's not completely different because even though I applauded Jason Botterill for some of the moves he made this offseason in that he tried to change the blue line. He tried to change it from that old school mentality, hey, I'm gonna cross check him in front of the net. We're gonna out muscle him with Ristolainen and Bogosian and Scandella and Beaulieu. And now the guys he brought in this offseason and going back to last year's trade deadline with Montour and
who hasn't
Colin
even come
Miller.
Back yet, so,
right.
I mean that's a good thing.
And Colin Miller and Henry Joki Haru. These are modern day puck moving defensemen. Joki Haru, I think is great. Like,
all it took was
what
Nylander.
He is supposed to be is a guy that gets zone exits. He gets the puck on his stick in his own end. He's either going to put it on the tape of a forward going through the neutral zone with speed, or he's going to carry it out himself and he's going to figure out what to do with it then. He's done a great job at that. He looks like a modern day defenseman. Montour is that. Miller is that. That's what has me optimistic. But through 4 games, here we are again.
I know.
Rasmus Ristolainen is leading this team in ice time. I was curious to see him come back this season. I didn't need him traded. I think it was a good idea to trade him, but I didn't need him traded because I would like to see what Ristolainen looks like on a second pair or on a third pair, playing 18 to 20 minutes a night. I don't understand why it just can't happen. Maybe it will happen once Montour comes back. But at this point, it has not happened. He played 25 minutes last night. 25 minutes. We're right back to where we started with him. So either trade him or play him less. Because even though I think he's had a good start to his season, he made the one colossal screw-up last night where he puts the puck on the penalty kill. He tries to fire it up the middle. It goes right to a Canadian. It's in the net. Mm-hmm. other than that, like, I thought he's played relatively well so far this season. How will that last? Because, you know, history will tell you it's not going to. A four-game sample size, I'm not changing my opinion on what he is based on the previous 400 games. So there are still some things that I think need to be fixed, and I think they need to arrive at a point where some guys like Ristolainen are playing less.
I just don't get why they're doing
I'll be,
it.
And then I'll be confident that this blue line has really turned it around.
Why is he still getting... I mean, for me, I could understand it in years past, but I don't feel like they need to depend on... Yeah, I just don't think they need to depend on him as much this year as they have in previous years.
One part, and it's not fully the same, because for pretty much his entire career, Ristolainen has been the top defenseman in the top power play unit. Like, that's been him. This year, he's not getting any power play time. He's not. I'm not sure if he's played in the power play yet. It's Dahlin on the top pair, and it's Colin, in the top unit, and it's Colin Miller in the second. So that's been taken away. But when the other team's top line is on the ice, I'm still seeing Ristolainen out there. So I just don't think that's a place for him to be successful. And I hope that we get to a point where maybe Dahlin, who's averaging right now under 19 minutes of ice time a night, I think, if Dahlin's minutes start to go up and he creeps up, I don't need Dahlin to play 28 minutes a night this season. Like, you want him maybe to get to that point at some point where he's Erik Karlsson. But right now, maybe get that number up for Dahlin up to somewhere between like 20 to 22 minutes. Maybe you get up to 23. If that happens, maybe Ristolainen's numbers come back. If Montour
pairing should get more ice time. When
I would hope so, but...
Does he replace, like, Scandella, probably?
But that's the thing. It's not just Ristolainen for this point. If they did really want to make over the whole blue line to make it a puck-moving unit, Montour's a part of that. Miller's a part of that. Joki Haru's a part of that. Pilot's a part of that. Dahlin's, of course, a part of that. Ristolainen doesn't fit that. Scandella doesn't fit that. Bogosian doesn't fit that. What happens when everybody's healthy? Who's playing? Is Bogosian in the lineup?
I don't think he
is. Is Scandella? Is Ristolainen still on the team? If all three of those guys make up half my blue line, I don't have a great puck-moving blue line. I just don't. Whereas I can have one. They have the personnel to do it now, but will they have the willingness to do it if everybody is healthy? And, you know, everybody's probably not going to be healthy at once, but if they are, what does that top six look like?
Who would
I'm waiting to judge their blue line until I see it when it's all healthy.
Who would those two even replace? I mean, for me, I don't know how Scandella and Bogosian crack the lineup.
You know what I'm worried about is, and this is kind of why, though, I liked Ralph Kruger as an idea. What is the easy thing for a coach to do in this situation? You've got veteran players coming back, high-paid guys coming back, leaders. Bogosian is highly respected in that locker room. When those guys return, what's the easy thing to do? The easy thing to do is to send Pilot to Rochester and keep him down there. That's the easy thing to do. He's a young player that doesn't get paid a whole lot. What's the easy thing to do with Joki Haru? Because to me, even though I think he's a better player right now than Zach Bogosian is, the easier thing to do is to scratch Joki Haru.
That's such a downgrade. I think that's too big of a downgrade from a puck-moving perspective.
But that's what I'm worried about. Even though I like this coach and we just got going with him, I kind of want to see that way of thinking. I want to see that him differentiating himself from other NHL coaches before I'm going to go all in and say, this really is a different thinker. Because at this point, he's still got Sobotka playing with Jeff Skinner and Marcus Johansson.
Another thing concerning.
Like, if he was all the way in that regard, like, hey, I'm only worried about who my best players on the ice are, and I'm not worried about contracts, I'm not worried about veteran status, how is Sobotka still playing?
Also on the second line, not just playing.
Where is CJ Smith? Where is Tage Thompson? Where is anybody? Where's Mittelstadt on the wing? Anything's a better idea than that guy on that line, but he's there. And why is he there? And I still don't understand why that's happening. And that's only one thing that's really happened so far. I guess him over Rodriguez is two things. But that has me thinking that maybe when their blue line is completely healthy, that veteran status will matter. And that Bogosian and Scandella and Ristolainen will be playing in the lineup and maybe playing bigger minutes than these young puck-moving defensemen that they now have on the team.
I hope not. I just think, too, though, at the same time, this does feel, this start and this roster feels a lot less fluky then
no, yeah, right.
Even during that 10-game streak, I mean, how many games did they win in a shootout? How many games were they badly outshot? They were holding on for dear life.
Yep.
They were opportunistic on the power play. This year, and again, they haven't been scoring as, I mean, a lot of their goals, again, this year have come on the power play, but for me, they have been way better on 5-on-5. Last year, you had, what, Jeff Skinner relied upon on 5-on-5, and who else was scoring goals? I mean,
Michael,
years before
Reinhardt,
that, yeah. But years before that, it was about Kane and those two guys once again, and that was really it. So I think this year is different, and you can see it from a blue line. I hope Kruger doesn't revolt back to that.
But you're right.
Old
like even
way.
Their scoring depth is deeper, and Olofsson's a big part of that. Johansson's a big part of that. You would like VC to maybe step up at some point here, but Olofsson's inclusion in this lineup, his ability to play with Eichel on the top unit, mostly on the first line, allows a second scoring line to exist. Johansson, I want Sabotka off that line, but Johansson and Skinner are a great pairing together. Johansson is a puck carrier and a puck mover, a great playmaker, and he's at least a good playmaker. I don't want to call him great. He's like a 40-50 point guy. But Skinner is a pure goal scorer, and those two fit really well together. And I don't, last year that line couldn't have existed. And now it does. So that's something they didn't otherwise have. We'll take one quick call, and then we got to take a break. Let's go to Anthony in Niagara Falls. Anthony, what's up? You're on WGR.
Hey, you guys, enjoying the show. I think you're both very insightful. I just had question and a couple comments for you. First of all, why is Bogosian on this team? The guy's not very good, and he's always hurt. And then my comments would be, I think Kruger is really showing, you know, all the reasons I liked him before the season started. I mean, the guy's well-spoken. He's really thoughtful. Mm-hmm. I just think he's getting the best out of his players and putting him in a position to succeed, unlike, you know, Housley. My final comment would be that amazing how since the season started, Botterill, it's like the opinion on him's totally changed. The guy was on the hot seat. Now all of a sudden we're looking at some sustainable success here.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm impressed with what he's done with the blue line, with who he's brought in. It's just weird that guys haven't gone out. He has not really solved that second line center problem. Like Johansson's doing a good job at it right now, but I wouldn't just write that in ink that problem is solved. So until that happens, you know, jury might still be out a little bit. The Bogosian question you have, like, why is he here? Because he's under contract, and I don't really think he's got trade value, and he's got an injury. So maybe when he gets healthy, someone will take that contract on for one more year. But
I
that's
would
why.
Want to, but I mean, yeah. I imagine maybe one team would.
Yeah. Oh, you would hope so. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll take a break here and show up in the Bulldog coming up at 3 o'clock here on WGR.
The other night, frustrating for a lot of us, especially myself. It wasn't very good, so it was important, I think, for our group to just come back and play well at home. And as much as I think there's some things there that we probably want to clean up and get a little bit better at, I thought there was a lot of positives out there. You know, Hutz made some huge saves for us. I thought, you know, Zemgus, Larry, and Oki, they were excellent as well, and they got our game going a lot. So there was some good and some things we want to work on, but it's a divisional opponent, and we got 2 points, so it's a good win.
Jack Eichel, who was doing whatever he wanted last night.
Games like that are why I appreciated they threw a season away for that performance right there.
And says the guy wearing the tank work shirt. I love it. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you've got any last thoughts here, we've been doing a little Sabres here to close out the show. We talked mostly Bills today. Let's go to Alex in Amherst. Alex, what's up, man? You're on WGR.
Hey, what's up? Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead. You got about 30 seconds here. Make it quick.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. So I wanted to make a comment about Sabotka. I think that him being on the second line obviously isn't ideal, but if you really look at where he's playing in the D zone, he's playing kind of down low. He's taking a lot of big draws. I think maybe it's just a way to kind of ease Johansson back into that center role because he's played wing the last few years. So I was just curious about what you guys thought. I mean, if you put Sabotka...
Hey, man, you cut out there. No, I mean,
I
understand the logic
for me.
That might be the logic to why it's happening, but once you get to the offensive end, he's just not helping you. And that should be more valuable than who's taking my D zone faceoffs, I guess. All right, we got to get out of here. We will be back tomorrow from 12 to 3 for Lou DiBiase and for Joe DiBiase and John Simon. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.